Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, 20 minutes past the hour, we'll talk to Tyler Dunn, Bleacher Report. He wrote a story, a profile on A.J. Green, Bengals wide receiver, that has caught a lot of attention because in it, A.J. declared that he will guarantee be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Most people don't put him up with the Odell, Julio Joneses of the world, Antonio Brown. But is it time that we start, even though he plays in a team that doesn't win many football games, or at least doesn't win any football games in January? Is it time to start understanding how good A.J. Green really has been over the course of his career? He's understated, plays in a smaller market on a team that doesn't win playoff games. And for that, I think that he is very much so underrated. We'll talk to Tyler Dunn about his piece on A.J. Green coming up here at 20 minutes past the hour. By now, I'm sure you've heard the details of Jalen Ramsey, cornerback, Jacksonville Jaguars, trashing a lot of people in a GQ article. In fact, we'll have the author of that GQ article on later on in the show, 1 hour from now, Clay Skipper. And in it, Jalen Ramsey took his shots at Matt Ryan, saying that it's all scheme with Matt Ryan or all Kyle Shanahan. Josh Allen, rookie quarterback, Buffalo Bills, that he's quote-unquote trash, saying that Ben Roethlisberger is okay, but Antonio Brown is really the greatness there, that Eli Manning is overrated, that Andrew Luck isn't that good. Now, in doing so, I've got to respect it because he also gave other players, other quarterbacks, gloss. He said Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson are great and are going to become MVPs. He said Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are great. He said that Matthew Stafford was straight, not like his sexual orientation, but that being a compliment that he's good. So Jalen Ramsey played both sides. He was asked for his honest assessment of players and quarterbacks, and he gave them both good and both bad, which I got to respect. I mean, it's wildly entertaining. It's incredibly entertaining to talk about. It's funny. We don't hear players talk this openly, trashing other guys. And I thought that as long as you have the balance where you're willing to compliment some guys that are not just your teammates, but actually give some love, it gives credibility to the guys that you trash. If you are willing to say that Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson are going to be MVPs, then I got to at least give you some credibility when you say, and I think Josh Allen's going to be trash. You're not just bagging on guys that aren't your teammates. You're giving some guys credit as well. But in this, maybe what's being lost, because it's so fun to hear players trash talk publicly other players, especially when he just kind of takes a machine gun to the rest of the NFL and everybody has to respond. I mean, yesterday, Luck was asked about it, and Eli was asked about it, and Josh Allen was asked about it, and Matt Ryan was asked about it. So he's got all of these other quarterbacks having to answer questions about his criticism. I thought what's being overlooked is how he criticized his own coaching staff. I mean, in this, Jalen Ramsey says that his coaching staff got too conservative in the AFC title game when the Jaguars had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And they were very predictable in what the offense was going to be. They were going to try to run the football, drain clock, and only when absolutely mandatory, allow Blake Bortles to throw a pass. Ramsey said in this GQ article, quote, "I think in crunch time moments, like last year's playoff game, not as a team because we would have trusted Blake, but I think as an organization, we should have trusted him more to keep throwing it. We got complacent and conservative, and I think that's why we lost. We started running it on first and second down, throwing it on third down every single time we were out there, and the Patriots caught on to that." Here's why this is interesting. Think about the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks were all hunky-dory. They were a would-be dynasty. They went to back-to-back Super Bowls. They're on the doorstep of winning back-to-back Super Bowls. And then the coaching staff makes a bad decision of not handing it off to Marshawn Lynch, and they lose. And right from Jump Street after that, the Seahawks locker room kind of implodes. They're trying to take these guys out on a bonding mission. The offense, though, is at war with the defense. Nobody trusts the coaching staff. Daryl Bevel's name is mud inside that locker room. People are griping and grousing about how the treatment of Russell Wilson is compared to the treatment of defensive stars from the organization. And nothing's ever good. Nothing's ever clean. Nothing's ever okay from that point on. And now look, the Seahawks basically have dismantled most of that team and in some circles are picked to be the worst team in the division. The Jaguars haven't shown any part of that publicly. Because I think the Jaguars feel like, well, we'll be right back there again this year. Well, we've got, that's just the start. But is it possible that Jalen Ramsey is saying something that's kind of a signal for what is coming down the road? And that is that a lot of those guys inside that locker room felt like a lot of us, which was that the Jaguars got overly conservative and that lost them that game in Foxborough. And that those Jaguars players won't trust Doug Marrone or won't trust the coaching staff if things go sideways, if that rears its ugly head again. Because what happens if they never get back to an AFC title game? What happens if this year they start out the season 3-5 at the midway point? Are they going to totally trust Doug Marrone? Are they going to totally trust the coaching staff? What happens if they're trying to pound the rock because Marrone and Coughlin want to be old school? And they're not allowing Blake Bortles to throw downfield. And let's say they're starting to lose games 13-12. And that the defense is doing a great job, but there's a special teams touchdown. And they hold them to two field goals and they lose because the offense is overly conservative. Do you think it's possible that other players on that defense feel the way that Jalen Ramsey does and starts questioning, man, we need a better coaching staff, or we need a better quarterback, or we were close last year. We could have beaten the Patriots. We should have been to the Super Bowl. You know, this is a young team that's very volatile emotionally. And Ramsey is, while he's the most talkative and he's the most opinionated and he's the most out there, I think reflects a lot of those guys. That was the one thing we learned last year, was that his teammates didn't want him not to talk. They liked that somebody was talking for them. They liked that he would say the things they were thinking, but they didn't want the target on their back. I think it's absolutely in play that a volatile, emotional Jaguars defense rolls their eyes at Doug Marrone's coaching decisions in that AFC title game and won't give him the benefit of the doubt if things go sideways this year. I think it's absolutely in play that this team might have 12-win potential, but a couple of things don't go the right way this year. They've got a target on their back. they were underrated last year, maybe overrated this year, and that they lose a couple of games early, they're scuffling midseason, and that that defense starts chirping about, man, you know, we need to call better plays, or we can't do it all. I mean, it is not hard to imagine by October 15th, that team being under 500 and some of the defensive players, including Jalen Ramsey, openly griping to the media about the coaching staff or about the offense or about the play calling. That doesn't sound out of realm at all. I think that might be the most interesting thing that Ramsey said yesterday. It's fun talking about him trashing other players, but that's the most notable to me. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. DJ tweets, Mraz is the Roseanne Barr of CBS Sports Radio, and not just because they look alike. If I was bogus, I would toilet paper Mraz's car. In the end, let's hope they can all be friends. Joshua tweets, I don't know how much of Mraz's opinions are radio shtick, but I legitimately hate this guy. Hashtag the pig. Garrell tweets, take Mraz out. Low blow. Hashtag from the pig. Robert tweets, Mraz is now officially enemy number one. Hashtag soulless swine. Hashtag pig. Hashtag get him out. Alex tweets, there is a motto, live by the pig, die by the pig, learn by the pig. I said learn by the pig, I meant learn from Mraz. Come on, piggy, let Bogus do his play-by-play job. Pigs can't do play-by-play, pigs just rant. Hashtag oink oink. Another snippet from the PGP, the Permission Granted podcast, where Mraz questioned Andrew Bogus' career aspirations to be a play-by-play man.
He's not doing Fordham men's basketball. He's doing
even
like...
Even worse.
Right, I think that's true.
He might even...
He's not the radio voice of Fordham, I know that.
No, I think he's actually doing like pre and post for them. So.
Okay, maybe. I think he's also doing play-by-play of some of the Olympics.
I don't even think he's getting paid for the Fordham thing. I think he's just an alumni there that they're roping in to do it.
I disagree. He's not doing anything for free.
Bogus
isn't a charity case. I'm sorry.
I think with Fordham, he is. You know, Michael K. Ryan Rucco not available. I'll just call that Bogus guy. He's not doing anything.
That is not how it works. It's so offensive. So offensive. He said, you're not going to get the call to the NFL at 60. The clock is ticking. You're calling women's high school lacrosse on cable. He said, somebody needs to put Andrew Bogus in an honesty cooler. He said, somebody needs to tell him it's over, the dream is over. Because Bogus might miss my wedding for a Delaware Blue Hens football game. And it's amazing because we work in an industry, we live in a stratosphere here on the radio where everybody has followed their dream, including Mraz. Maybe he's just not qualified to do anything else, but... this newsroom has turned on him hard. Hard. Because Bogus is one of the most likable guys here. Bogus treats everybody with respect. And Bogus does his job 1,000 times better than Mraz ever could. He takes pride in his work. He wants to be more than just an update guy. You see him co-hosting shifts here on the radio, on CBS Sports Radio. He's grinding at night doing play-by-play, coming in to do updates. And Mraz is saying... get lost, get rid of the dream. It's not happening. You know, reality check. And that has turned a lot of people here the wrong way because people are rooting for Bogus to be a play-by-play guy and rooting for him to go after it and succeed. And Mraz is not. Mraz is just, I mean, throwing garbage on him. Robert tweets, Mraz sounds like a guy who cannot take responsibility for his actions. If he ran a red light and T-boned somebody, he probably says, this isn't my fault. I blew the horn as I was going through the red light. I mean, it's just amazing. Mraz telling other people, get rid of the dream, lose the dream, including a guy that does his job as well as anybody at this station does their job. Used an entire 20 minutes on the PGP this week to just bag on a guy's dream. I don't blame guys around here for being upset. I really don't. I don't blame guys around here for being upset because people are chasing dreams. And Mraz, because of his ego, he's gotten a few hosting shifts now. He's doing PA work at his old high school. He's brought back from his college, amazingly, where he wasn't even supposed to graduate, but they allowed him to cheat to be a noted speaker. And because of it, Mraz just is on top of the world right now and is just raining on everybody else's dreams. It's just not right. None of this is right. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Tyler Dunn, Bleacher Report, NFL writer, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. Throwback Thursday jams here on CBS Sports Radio and the DA Show. Thanks for being with us.
Aw, the DA. I love the DA.
Remember, we're on SiriusXM Channel 206. If you're outside your normal listening area, if your local affiliate does not carry us, you can always catch us on SiriusXM Channel 206. Story about A.J. Green profile done in the Bleacher Report has really caught a lot of attention because in it, A.J. Green, Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver, guarantees he'll be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. He's not oftentimes put in the same category as the Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham category, but should we be putting him there? He believes so. The author of that story, a fantastic profile on A.J. and tragedy in his life that has helped fuel him, is our good friend Tyler Dunn, features writer at Bleacher Report. Ty, how are we doing this morning?
Doing well, DA. It's been a little bit. How you been?
I've been great, man. I've been great. It's good to have you back on the show. And this was a wonderful piece that you put together about A.J. Green. Let's start on the football side of things. Because he plays in Cincinnati, because his quarterback is Andy Dalton, because they don't win playoff games, and because he is not loud, outspoken, or wants to be out in the media, do we underrate A.J. Green?
100%. And that's kind of the impetus, I guess, when we were approaching this story and the curiosity that kind of leads to a story like this is, man, I mean, look at this offseason. You've got Odell Beckham letting the world know every other day what he's doing, posting the shirtless selfies, upset about his contract situation. You've got Antonio Brown arriving via helicopter to training camp. And, you know, A.J. Green has gone 7 years, no playoff wins, Andy Dalton as his quarterback in a small market. You know, we all know the wide receiver position kind of produces just a different kind of creature in all of professional sports. You can only control what you can control, right? And you can't control much as a receiver, so that leads to frustration, which leads to malcontent, which leads to the constant self-promotion. And he just cuts against the grain, it seemed, in every way. So I guess that's kind of what led us to Cincinnati, and once we talked to him and got to know him a little bit, I mean, you really see why he is the way he is.
But he's happy in Cincinnati, right? I mean, to your point, as you wrote about, he lives close to the stadium. He feels like it's a small town, so he can be himself. He grew up in the country, and he's not far from being in the country where he lives. He likes it in Cincinnati. There's no undercurrent of, I need to get out of here, is there?
There isn't. It's kind of wild. I mean, he signed his contract, you know, within 2 weeks of Julio Jones signing his. And, you know, obviously we know Julio was pretty unhappy with his deal. And A.J. Green says, I'm content. You know, I like it here. This is somebody who's putting in his own fishing pond back home, who grew up four-wheeling. You know, he's a country guy. I mean, he likes living in Kentucky right across that river. So I think he enjoys it there. But more than anything, I think big picture is the fact that he'll never forget what happened when he was 4 years old. He'll never forget that he was in that vehicle that swerved, hit a tree, aunt paralyzed from the waist down, cousins breaking their legs, brother dying, and he doesn't get a cut, doesn't get a scratch. He really thinks there's a reason he's still alive, because then you go into high school and he loses his mentor, a firefighter in a fire. So these are two people who are as close as you can get to him that are gone. He thinks about them every day.
Tyler Dunn joins us, features writer on the NFL for Bleacher Report and the author of this fantastic profile on A.J. Green. I did not know about those two tragedies in A.J.'s life until I read your story. But as you mentioned, he loses his brother in a car accident when he's four, and then his mentor in high school, who's also a firefighter, and his football coach in a fire. And so it's just devastating. It rips A.J. up. How does that, though, connect to his satisfaction of playing in Cincinnati?
Good question. I think it connects to the fact that he's not going to let those factors that should frustrate him. I mean, he should be mad, right? I mean, he doesn't have Matt Ryan throwing him the football, and he's not in a market that is going to plaster him across the television set or across social media. He doesn't have that personality to begin with. And so I think that that's where the connection is he is grounded. He truly has that real perspective of wanting to be a husband, wanting to be a father. I mean, he has his little boys running around now. I think all of that connects, because you hear a lot of guys, you know, say that they put their life in that order, that family's most important and football comes second. He lives it. I mean, he really does. And I think that, you know, the fact that he brings that perspective every day allows him to just focus on football. I mean, he genuinely doesn't care about the fact that we don't talk about him in the same breath as Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., and Julio Jones.
I thought it was interesting that both he and Andy Dalton in your piece admitted it's not always great between them. They do have confrontations, or they do have disagreements, but that it's never too big, and that both those guys really like playing with one another. One could imagine if you wanted to be an elite wide receiver, playing with Andy Dalton is not the best way to get there. But did you sense that there was any underlying frustration with his quarterback?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I mean, 7 years together, you're going to get sick of each other at one point, even if you're winning, and these guys haven't won a playoff game. So that was the sense I got. You know, Andy Dalton said there are times behind the scenes when, you know, Green does ask for the ball, and he says he likes it. And Green said, yeah, there's probably times he gets mad at me and I get mad at him, but we know this is the situation, and we make the best of it. I think that this could be that potential breaking point, because they see the talent they did in 2015 when they started 8-0. Tyler Boyd, John Ross, Joe Mixon, they've got a lot of firepower around A.J. Green now. I mean, spending a week at that training camp, I mean, this is a team that could legitimately contend it, and that's how they're viewing it. So if they have another 7-9 season, hey, maybe they are, you know, going at it. Maybe that is the breaking point. I mean, we saw last year with the Jalen Ramsey incident with A.J. Green that was the first time he kind of bled. I mean, that was the first time he lost that perspective. He was in the middle of a bad year, having a bad game. You know, one more year could do that. So I think that now more than ever, he's trying to remember, you know, what drives him every day. And that's really how he approaches his offseason. I mean, his workouts are insane. I mean, he's pushing trucks. He's running up steep hills 50 yards. He's doing 400 reps of ab work to start it off. This guy takes everything to the next level.
Tyler Dunn joins us from Bleacher Report after his profile of A.J. Green has gotten a lot of attention out there. So you went and you saw the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Steelers are the favorite in that division, but you think they can be a contender, huh?
It sure appears that way, and, you know, guilty as charged. I went to Cincinnati's training camp after Buffalo's training camp. So, you know, you go from watching Nathan Peterman and Josh Allen and A.J. McCarron to Andy Dalton. Maybe the perspective was a little skewed on that transition. But they looked really good. I mean, A.J. Green, watching just him work, I mean, is must see. I mean, it's unbelievable what he can do in terms of going deep one moment, toasting a guy 6 yards in his dust, running 10 yards, coming to a complete stop on a stop route to burn somebody. I mean, this is a 6'4", 6'5 guy who can run routes like a 5'10 guy, exactly as he said. But, you know, beyond him, it looks like John Ross is every bit as fast as we thought, and now he's healthy. His mind is in the right place. He's going to be used one way or another. Joe Mixon, you're not going to see a running back built like this guy in any training camp. And Tyler Boyd, obviously, who had the game-winning touchdown last year. He had some struggles last year, obviously, but I think his health is where it needs to be. And they really think that this is somebody who can be that Marvin Jones, that Mohamed Sanu-like receiver opposite A.J. Green, and take advantage of those one-on-one matchups. So it's all there. I mean, I think part of the reason I'm so optimistic, though, too, is, you know, this division is not strong. I mean, the Steelers have a lot of drama going on. AFC in general is up for grabs. So the Bengals could be that team that kind of sneaks up on everybody. And that's what Andy Dalton said. He said, nobody's talking about us right now. And we kind of like that. We think that we can really sneak up on folks.
So we only got about 30 seconds left, but you said the AFC is up for grabs. Do you think that the Patriots are vulnerable then?
To Cincinnati, maybe I won't go that far, but I think so. Yeah, why not? I mean, in the end, you know, the cream rises to the top. Tom Brady always finds a way to get to the Super Bowl, but, I mean, hey, it's not all rosy there in New England either. They lost a lot of key players, so it remains to be seen.
Interesting. Tyler Dunn joins us from Bleacher Report. This is such a cool profile, so interesting, so in-depth, and so many things you did not know about A.J. Green. I highly encourage it. Check it out. Tyler Dunn wrote about it. You can follow him on Twitter, at Ty Dunn, D-U-N-N-E. Man, great to catch up, buddy. I'm sure we'll do it plenty more during the football season, my man. Be well.
Anytime, D.A. Thanks so much for having me on, man. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Tyler Dunn joining us here on the show. Really, really good stuff. Deep stuff. They're chasing FedEx Cup points at their last shot to make the playoffs. It's the Wyndham Championship this weekend on CBS. When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day, including Eli Manning answering Jalen Ramsey's criticism of him. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
Oh, I missed you.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I missed you too.
She's a bad girl, David.
DA with you. CBS Sports Radio. Watch us at watchda.com every single day. And now, Sunday morning football returns week one of the NFL season. And Sunday morning football, 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Sunday mornings Eastern time, 6 a.m. Pacific, will be simulcast just like last year, Sunday morning football, and you can watch it at watchda.com. This fantasy prediction brought to you by FanDuel. How about Deshaun Watson? He's going to be a top fantasy quarterback this season. Last year, ACL tear. Before that, he was just running circles around people. He averaged nearly 30 fantasy points over his five games before that ACL tear. And DeAndre Hopkins as a target in a division that is eminently winnable. Deshaun Watson, big pickup this year. This NFL season, there's more ways to win on FanDuel, like their free Survivor League. Just pick out one winner every week and compete for $250,000. Visit FanDuel.com to make your week one pick. Simply Super Dave tweets, Mraz has my support. He calls it as he sees it and doesn't curve to make others happy, which is wrong. He would hit a rookie player all comfy in the box and make him a tougher, smarter, more alert player. Hashtag get him in. Hashtag get over it.
Get him out.
One thing you have to realize is if you align yourself with Mraz, you're aligning yourself with an idiot who does not think about what he says.
Boise's in the middle.
So that's fine if you want to do that, but I just want you to know that that's who you're aligning your beliefs with. And if you're going to defend hitting Ronald Acuna last night because it's going to make him tougher, like, is that the priority now in baseball? That you guys out there as baseball fans, you're rooting to make rookies tougher. Like, this is your social cause? I watch baseball to make sure the rookies toughen up. Stop it. Stop lying to yourself. You are caught in the past. And you know what? There's some things that I am a traditionalist on as well. I hate Color Rush Thursdays. Hate with a passion. The passion, the fire of a thousand suns. I hate Nike's jerseys. I hate Color Rush Nike jerseys and garbage redesigns. But if you are defending hitting Ronald Acuna last night because it's going to make him tougher and you believe that there should be some arbiter of toughness in baseball, you're lost. This is one of the great young players of the game that you are putting at risk of an injury with a 97 mile per hour fastball that hits his elbow because what? You want to teach him toughness? He didn't do anything wrong. He just hit baseballs far. He wasn't disrespectful. He didn't Cadillac. He didn't trash talk. He didn't show anybody up. He didn't do anything wrong except be better than you. And what? For that, he deserves tough love. Just admit it. If he hit a home run off you, you're worse than he is. He's better than you. And Neanderthals like Mraz can't handle being worse than other competitors. They have to make excuses. I guarantee you this. If it was Aaron Judge, Mraz's beloved little Aaron Judge, hit on the elbow or the wrist and fractures it like he's out right now because Judge was hitting massive bombs against the Red Sox or the Blue Jays or the A's or the Mariners or the Indians, Mraz would be crying home, oh, why'd they hit Aaron Judge? Why'd they hit him? They're such losers. Why don't they pitch to him? We're better than you. Oink, 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 slovenly pig. You want to align yourself with that? Fine. You're a pig too. If you want to align yourself with that thinking, you are a pig too. Ronald Acuna is better than you. Deal with it. He's better than the pitchers he is hitting against. And the only weapon they have is fear of being injured, which is stupid. So what? Aaron Rodgers is better than your cornerbacks. He throws for 3 touchdowns for a month straight. And so on the opening snap against the Bears send 5 guys on a blitz. And even if it's well after the ball is out, they take him and they slam him into the turf to injure his shoulder. That's sending a message. No, Aaron Rodgers is just better than you. Deal with it. He's better than you. And the only retaliation you have because you're a loser team and you're not as good at him is fear of injury. It's a loser, dopey, caveman mentality. And if you subscribe to it, you're an idiot. It's idiotic. It is illogical. It is caught in some ridiculous atmosphere where we need to teach our athletes toughness. Why does Ronald Acuna need to be taught a lesson, I'm wondering? All he did was go up there and be better at baseball than his opponent. There's a lesson. Whereas, what is that lesson that we need
to
teach?
It's not a lesson. Oh, man, you got my blood boiling right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's not.
Big, fat pig. Go ahead.
Whoa.
Let's go.
It's not a lesson, D.A.
Oh, what is it?
It is just simply, you're right, they can't get him out. He is better than them. The only way now to do anything with him is to make sure when he steps in that batter's box, he is uncomfortable. And the only way to make him uncomfortable is throw in his direction.
Is to risk injury.
Yeah. To risk injury.
To risk injury.
That's the nature of the beast in baseball.
Okay, cool.
Is it nice? Is it Neanderthal-like? Of course it's Neanderthal-like.
Okay, so Odell Beckham goes over the middle, week one, game one, play one, and they submarine his ACL and take out his knee. And you're going, hey, they had to send a message.
They did it in the preseason last year, and I was ticked off beyond belief.
Uh-huh.
But guess what? That was a young kid trying to make a name for himself, that Calhoun
Forget
booty.
Forget young kid trying to win a job. How about sending a message that Odell Beckham's so good, we need to take out his knee?
That's totally different
in
baseball.
No, it's the same. It's the same.
You're going to rough him up. It doesn't mean take out his knee.
He hit him on the elbow with a 97-mile-an-hour
fastball. What else are they supposed to do? You slide into the guy?
Well, what are they supposed to do? Don't do anything. It's not a
physical. So just let him completely hit bombs and give up.
He's better than you. He's better than you.
And your point is deal with it. That's the way they're dealing with it.
You're worse than him. You got to deal with it.
So what? So that means just, okay, you can hit a home run anytime you want.
Walk him.
Walk him. Walk him. No. You let him know. I'm going to throw up and in on you. If I hit you, I hit you. And now you know, don't be so comfortable next time in the box.
Because it's his fault.
Because he's getting off. No.
Well,
but it happens to everybody. It happened to Judge. He's out of freaking 6 weeks now.
What kind of lesson is it to teach Ronald Acuna, you're better than me, so you need a lesson?
It's the lesson that's been going on for baseball in 100 years.
Oh,
you're not to get comfortable in the box.
That makes sense.
Does it make sense?
That makes
no,
sense.
But that's what it is.
It doesn't make sense, but we should do it.
We should do it,
You're an idiot. Don't you understand you're an idiot? It doesn't make sense, you said, but we do it.
Because otherwise, the alternative is just have the guy hit 4 home runs versus you again.
You just said it doesn't make sense. Walk him. We walked Barry Bonds 150 times. Walk him.
It's as good as a walk, but now you're not letting him get comfortable.
This is so, you just said it doesn't make sense, but it's what we
do. Because if I
have
my preference.
Just keep smoking cigarettes when you're pregnant, too. We've done that. Why don't we just do that?
Now we're making a big leap.
That's what we always did. Okay, you know what? We had colored water fountains. That's what we always did. Let's just keep doing it. Right?
No.
It doesn't make any sense, but that's what we've always
done. So now we're going to change the rule because Acuna did it?
There's no rule. This is not a rule. It's an unwritten
rule.
All
I know is
you're an idiot.
When Pedro Martinez did that, everybody kissed his ass and talked about what a tough pitcher he was. And now because a guy's not as good as Pedro Martinez does it, he's the jerk.
Stupid.
So is Pedro Martinez stupid?
If he hits a guy because that guy's good,
did it to Derek Jeter and landed him on the DL.
It's stupid.
And every Yankee hater was like, oh, this is great. Pedro's a tough guy. Now those same people are going,
you liked
there's
it?
No place for this in baseball.
You liked it back
no,
then.
No, but I understood it,
you
and
understood
I wanted
it.
My pitcher to answer back and hit a red sock. Where
okay,
were the Braves
nice.
Answering back last night? They didn't.
Why?
That's
would
on
they,
them.
What? The whole thing shouldn't have happened in the first place. Why would they have to respond to a team trying to hurt a guy that's just better than them?
Then just beat them like they've been beating them. If they want to play that soft way, fine. But there should be a little toughness. And the Marlins at least presented some toughness last night.
You're such an idiot. I mean, it's just hard to argue with you because you're such a bonehead idiot. We are
it's
talking
not like
about
I'm by myself on this. There's plenty of people saying the same thing.
Guess
today.
What? There's a lot of Americans that are idiots.
There are.
Yes. They all follow you off the cliff.
Am I the smartest guy in the book? No. But when it comes to baseball,
yeah.
I like a little toughness.
Yeah. Great. Terrific. So LeBron James had a triple-double on you for three straight games. Game four, come
hard
out.
Foul.
Opening tip. Let's elbow him in the face. That's what we did there
in
last
the ribs,
night.
Yes, not in the face.
Well,
stay away from any and all head.
Okay. You hit him in the elbow, which could take him out of the DL.
Okay.
Okay. So, same thing. Alexander Ovechkin scores a hat trick on you, first three games of the series. Opening faceoff before anything is done. First thing of the game, like last night, we take a stick and we smack him in the ACL.
You're not going to smack a guy in the ACL.
Oh, but that's
you
the
can
same.
You can send your goon out to fight.
It's the same thing that just happened last night. They threw a 97 mile an hour fastball at his elbow.
And everybody knows you throw a ball towards the ribs. Acuna, unfortunately, that's the crappy part about it. His elbow was there.
Boy, that just is the way that it's always
no,
been.
But
so
if you're going to throw at a guy, we want him throwing at the ribs or the fat area, and that's where he was throwing.
And what happens if a guy gets a little high and beans a guy?
That's not right.
You better
be able to have control.
That's the risk you take.
No, that's the whole point. You better have control if you're going to do this, and Urena had control to throw in that area.
So you know Urena's control. You've been watching all these Marlins games.
He didn't throw high, right?
You have no doubt that 97 mile per hour might have risen on Acuna.
It didn't, and that shows me that he was right in trusting
because
his control.
Because it didn't means it can't happen. I mean, again, your logic is so dumb.
So what? But hold
you're
on.
So
if
dumb.
If your logic is dumb, what's the solution? Just the moment you throw a pitch, you're suspended 12 weeks?
Walk
what do you
him.
Want to do?
Walk him.
Okay, but so what are you going to write in a rule
last
book
night?
To make sure you don't do it?
Of course, he's suspended. Yes, 10 games. Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
So anybody now that hits anybody should get suspended. That's what we're going to do. Because how could you? Now, we all know we threw him on purpose, but that now becomes a fine line. How are you going to police this? If you want it out of baseball, it's got to be a rule to get it out of baseball.
Last night, the umpires threw the pitcher out of the game immediately. So they declared intent. Am I right?
Yes, they did.
So
now we're going to leave it up to the umpires' discretion.
Are
the
you
same
okay
umpires, we don't even want calling balls and strikes.
Are you okay with him getting kicked out last night by the umps?
I am.
Okay, so then you trust their intent. You trust them judging intent there.
I do.
Okay,
I
so
do.
So but you don't trust them judging the intent for a suspension.
I think then you're going to walk a fine line. I do.
Well,
I agree.
You can't have it both ways.
As I'm saying this, I understand how it comes off as sounding stupid. But the bottom line is this. If you're going to do this and you're going to tell Urena he has no right to make a guy uncomfortable in the box, then you better follow through with suspensions on everybody and not just pitchers we don't know.
Well, of course. I mean, but here's the deal. Acuna is red hot. He's crushing you. He gets hit on the first pitch. Obviously, there's intent because even Keith Hernandez is going, you have to do that. If Acuna had struck out for 10 times in a row and gets hit, that's obviously no intent. It's got to happen to a guy that you're purposefully trying to make uncomfortable and you're trying to hit.
To me, it just sounds like your answer back is a guy is better than you. A guy is killing you. Let him continue to kill you.
Well, what happens
like
in
that? How do you win that way?
What happens in football when Tom Brady throws for 500 yards on you? What's your response?
You hope that you can lay a defensive end and lay one into his chest like that, but, you know, there's a flag on every freaking play in the NFL when you do that.
But so then the response is, Brady's killing us. We have to hit him late.
Make him uncomfortable.
We have to hit him late.
You make him uncomfortable.
No, but this is a guy that got thrown out of a game for doing what he did. So you are saying we need a defensive end that will get kicked out of the game in the way that he hits Brady.
Again, he better not hit him in his head, but
you're
talking
about things
chest,
that are legal. You're talking about things on football fields that are legal. This was illegal because it got him thrown out of the game.
But again, you're allowed to hit somebody with a pitch. The guy just goes to first. It's not illegal.
Well, look at the intent. You're not allowed to hit a guy with a pitch like that. You're not.
Look, if
that
you,
was against the rules,
if
it got tossed.
If this is the way you want baseball to go, that's fine. There better be actual rules written then.
The whole point is that you are like a lot of other people that think that this is the right unwritten rule. That is so beyond logic.
Just like Chase Utley's slide in the playoffs a couple years ago, we went nuts. That was the right unwritten rule.
So what do you do to LeBron James when he throws triple-doubles on you?
I'm going to
say hard foul.
Hard foul.
Okay, but then you have to also green light that hard foul gets you kicked out of the game.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
So an elbow. So what's the hard foul that gets him kicked out of the game? A hit to the head. Now, that's the one thing that gets you out of the game.
I want to avoid all head injuries.
But now you don't want to hit to the head. So, I mean, your logic is all over the place. It's all over the place. It's so inconsistent.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.